Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
All the way on the other side of the ice. Copper's going to tangle her up. Time's going to expire.
And that's it. Wisconsin wins the 2023 National Championship. Their third of the last four tournaments. The Badgers, the first program in history to win seven NCAA women's ice hockey titles.
All the way on the other side of the ice. Copper's going to tangle.
On a Monday morning, National Championship morning. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers of the board, doing a great job with that clip. And that, on the call, was play-by-play announcer Reed Magnum on Radio 100.9. And what a call it was. The Wisconsin Badgers and Coach Mark Johnson, now seven-time national champions. Holy cow. If you can't get excited about that on a Monday, if that doesn't make your blood just tingle just a little bit, then, you know, as David Letterman says, I just can't help you. What a weekend. What a weekend for Wisconsin Badger hockey. Welcome in, everybody. It is the, I don't know what day it is, Aaron. It's spring. It's the 20th, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It's the 20th. I'm so excited. I lost track of the day. It is the 20th of March, 2023. Spring starts at 4:24, I believe, this afternoon is the exact start of spring. And wow, what a way to celebrate. How are you doing? Well, how was your weekend, Mr. Zommers?
My weekend was pretty good, but I wish I was watching that game.
I did not watch because it was on, and we'll get into this maybe a little bit later, but here you have a national championship of a major sport, women's hockey in this country, and they don't even put it on a major network. I mean, they put it on ESPNU, which is a higher tier. You have to have that to have the channel. So I did not get to watch it because it was not broadcast on a more common network. But I did listen to it. And, you know, look, for this kind of thing, I don't mind giving our competition or other stations a shout-out because Reed Magnum, who does the play-by-play for women's hockey and broadcast locally here on 100.9 in the Madison area. There is a women's hockey network, I believe, as well. But they do a great job. Reed does a great job. And it was a great call. It really was a great radio broadcast for them yesterday afternoon. And it got down to the point where I believe there was an icing call or something. So they're all set to make the call of the national championship call. And then the officials basically called icing or something, made them reset. No, it was a penalty, actually. Now that I think about it, one of the girls for Ohio State hit one of our players with her stick. And so that was a penalty with like 2.5 seconds left. And they had a face-off. I'm not sure the neutral zone or where. I kind of forget. I was so excited. And with 2.5 seconds, that call there was the last 2.5 seconds of the game. And Wisconsin stunned Ohio State. Ranked number one when they went in. I believe, if memory serves, it is the first time that an unranked women's hockey team, meaning unranked in the tournament, ended up winning the whole thing. So Wisconsin had to knock off the number three seed, which was Colgate. Then they knocked off the number two seed, the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. And then they knocked off the number one seed, the Ohio State Buckeyes. How sweet it is! I mean, to go through all that. And, of course, Mark Johnson now getting his seventh. That's right, 7th national title. Wisconsin becomes the all-time winningest program in the United States of America in terms of national titles. Nobody has more natties than the Wisconsin Badgers. Just really, really a great thing for Wisconsin. Great for the women's program. And I said this to Brady Ewing last week on Friday when he was in here on the show in his regular slot. Does anybody at Wisconsin deserve to have a statue put up in their honor more than Mark Johnson? Give us a call. Let us know what you think this morning. 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. Who deserves to have a statue put up, erected, if you will, on the campus at UW-Madison? Mark Johnson gets my vote. Who gets yours? 715-388-7155. Mark Johnson, just a great, great guy. I've met him a couple of times because he used to come into my coffee shop on occasion. I introduced myself briefly. He'd have no idea who I was. So I'm not trying to name drop. I'm just saying I've seen the guy interact with others. And when I you know, just congratulated him and said, you know, how thankful I was for him, one of the most humble people in the entire world, just kind of soft-spoken. I was like, oh, thank you very much. Oh, that means a lot. Well, you know, it's the girls that do it, our assistant coaches. Just gave all the credit to other people. Just one of the nicest, most humble people in the world. And I'm not sure, Mr. Zomers, we have time for this clip before the break. All right, here is Mark Johnson yesterday after he won the national championship on the first thing he's going to do.
I'm going to grab the trophy tomorrow, and then I'm taking over to sit down with my mom and get a picture with my mom, because you're not doing real well. And so it's something that I'll be able to have with me for a long period of time, because she was a big part of my dad and coaching, and part of the Badger legacy with her cowbell at the Coliseum, and a lot of people still talk about that. So in the back of my mind, it says, if we win this thing, I'm going to grab that trophy and go sit down with her, and she'll have a big smile on her face.
University of Wisconsin women's hockey coach, head coach Mark Johnson, clearly a little emotional there, and as well he should be. Of course, his dad, Bob Johnson, infamous on the Wisconsin campus, coined the phrase, it's a great day for hockey, and his mom was certainly a part of that in the men's program, and now he gets to share a 7th national championship trophy with her today. We'll talk more about the Badgers, what you need to know, and more news ahead. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 8:15. That is quarter past the hour of 8 on the time and temperature sign. Welcome back on this 20th day of March, the first day of spring. Well, at least it starts later on this afternoon. The first full day is tomorrow. And the sun, I'm not sure where you're at, but the sun here in Madison on University Avenue, the world headquarters of Civic Media, shining pretty bright. Nice morning. We'll check in with Kara Swanson at the bottom, Kara Foster, pardon me, at the bottom of the hour from Weatherology. She will give us the complete weather forecast details, but right now, here is a quick look at your weather where you are at in southwest Wisconsin, in Richland Center. First of all, today, partly sunny, breezy skies, looks like a high of 47 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 32, and tomorrow, Tuesday, mostly cloudy, maybe a chance of rain in the afternoon, and a high of 52 degrees. That's right, 5-2, going to break the 50-degree mark. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio Land for today, mostly cloudy, a high of 38. Maybe a slight chance of a snow shower overnight, and then cloudy skies, a low of 21. Tomorrow on Tuesday, a 40% chance of some light snow, no major accumulations expected, a high of 34 degrees on Tuesday. So look at that. On Tuesday in Wausau, it's going to be 34. In Richland Center, 52. There's clearly a front going through somewhere, right? We'll check in with Kara at the bottom of the hour. And then in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio, mostly sunny skies today, a high of 35. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 22. And Tuesday, a chance for rain and snow likely, a high of 35. Kara will tell us how many inches we can expect, but it looks like less than an inch right now. But that's the national weather forecast. We'll see what Kara has to say here at the bottom of the hour. Again, Wisconsin, the Wisconsin women's hockey team, national champions yesterday as they defeated number one seed Ohio State. It was quite the upset, and that is what is making news and leading off our news at this hour on this Monday. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I'm not sure if you, like I said, I did not have ESPNU, so I was not able to watch the game, but listen to it here locally, and hopefully you were able to follow it as well. Lots of girls just understandably ecstatic with everything going on, and really it was unexpected in Mark Johnson's 7th national championship. He called it last night one of the most unexpected championships that he ever had. I mean, think about that for a second. 7 national, well, of all the national championships you've had, Coach, which one was the least expected? I mean, right? I mean, that's quite a thing. I mean, one, you know, most coaches, man, if you get one national championship, that's saying something. But to have 7, And then to be able to reflect back on that, it's just an amazing career and still going for Wisconsin's Mark Johnson. Headline of the story then, Wisconsin upset number one Ohio State in the NCAA Hockey National Title Game in Duluth, Minnesota yesterday, capturing an unprecedented seventh championship at the Women's Frozen Four with a 1-0 victory. Freshman forward Kristen Sims' first period goal stood up as the game winner thanks to a 31-save performance from redshirt senior goalie Cammie Cronish. The Badgers' seventh national title broke a tie with Minnesota for the most ever by a women's hockey program in the Frozen Four. Coach Mark Johnson has been behind the Badgers' bench for 19 years. Quote, "I felt in the last month we've been in a good space, playing very well," Johnson said. "The group figured things out about 6 weeks ago, got everyone on the same page. I'm happy for them. It was a struggle at times. It was difficult. But through it all, they ended up getting things in the end, and now they'll have memories that'll last a lifetime." Wisconsin took a 1-0 lead after 6:32 of the first period on a goal by Sims that was produced by the team's ferocious forecheck. Freshman defender Carolyn Harvey knocked the puck deep in the Ohio State zone before changing off. The Badgers went to work with layers on the forecheck. Forward Lacey Eaton created some chaos, and forward Claire Enright put the puck in the attack zone and passed to Sims, who got a good look at the high slot. Shooting time is shooting across goalie Amanda Thiel's body through a screen for her sixth goal of the season. The Badgers were 26-1-1 entering the third period with a lead. Ohio State had not been shut out this season and was last shut out on January 21st of 2022, a 57-game stretch where the Ohio State Buckeyes had not been shut out. 57 games, and the Badgers broke that last night. Cronish was named the tournament's most outstanding player with the 1-0 shutout, stopping 82 of 87 shots in four games. Quote, "She took the torch this year," Johnson said. "She's worked hard for 5 years, and it was the first year she really got an opportunity to play. She wanted the baton and was able to look at it or take it in the end, and she was the difference in the game." So what a deal. Wisconsin lost incidentally to Minnesota in the WCHA semifinals and needed three upset wins to make the national title game. So think about that. The Badgers finished third in conference in the WCHA and yet goes on, beats the 1, 2, and 3 seed in the NCAA and ends up the national championship. So again, who deserves a title or who deserves a trophy put up with them or a statue at Wisconsin more than Mark Johnson? I don't think anybody. But give us your call and your opinion, and let's find out. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Mark Johnson won a national title himself when he played with his dad in the 70s at Wisconsin. Brought home the gold. And then, for those of you of a certain age who don't remember the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, New York, the United States of America upset the Soviet Union, perhaps still stands as the greatest upset in American sports history. It was called the Miracle on Ice because, of course, the great Al Michaels on the call back then for ABC at the Olympics, where he said, "You know, as the clock wound down, do you believe in miracles?" "Yes," as time expired. Because the Soviet Union was the premier hockey program in the world at the time. And the Americans were given little, if any, chance. Been a movie made about it, right? And Mark Johnson scored in that game, was one of the key players, and won a gold medal with the United States of America. They knocked off the Soviet Union and then had to beat Finland for the actual gold medal. So Mark Johnson wins a national championship at Wisconsin playing for his dad, the great late Bob Johnson, and then wins a gold medal at the Olympics on the men's team. Then he was an assistant. Right? He played in the NHL, I believe, for 13 years for different programs, most notably the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then after a 13-year career in the NHL, came back to Wisconsin, was an assistant under, I believe, Jeff Sauer, and then ended up being hired for the first women's hockey coach. Been there 19 years. And in 19 years, he has now won 7 national championships, the most decorated program in women's hockey history in the United States of America in terms of national championships. And that's just part of his resume. He also happens to be a great guy. Gives of his time and his money to local programs and charities. Why do we not have a statue of Mark Johnson on the UW Madison campus? 715-388-7155. Who else? If it's not Mark Johnson, who? We have a statue of Barry Alvarez. I'm fine with that. We have a statue of Pat Richter. I'm fine with that. But other than those two, who else deserves to have a statue more than Mark Johnson? 715-388-7155. Give us a call, and we will discuss it. 715-388-7155. In the meantime, here's a couple more things you need to know making headlines on this day, the 20th of March, 2023. Chinese leader Xi Jinping is visiting Moscow today to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin. A state summit with political overtones that will be closely watched by the rest of the world. His visit comes after a defiant Putin made a surprise appearance over the weekend in Russian-occupied Mariupol, his first visit to territory captured by his forces in the year-long conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Meanwhile, Indonesia's famous island of Bali has attracted thousands of Russians and Ukrainians escaping the horror of war since Russia invaded Ukraine last year. But for those fleeing the conflict, there's trouble in paradise. Balinese authorities last week called for an end to Indonesia's visa on arrival policy for Russians and Ukrainians, citing alleged bad behavior and visitors overstaying their visas and working illegally as hairdressers, tour guides, and taxi drivers. Well, I mean, if your country was being, you know, shot to heck too, I might want to go spend some time on Bali as well. Former President Trump, back in the news. Going to talk more about this morning. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg assured employees that his office will not tolerate intimidation or threats as it investigates an alleged hush money payment for former President Donald Trump to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. In an email to staff, Bragg said his office is coordinating with the New York City Police Department and other law enforcement agencies to ensure all credible threats are investigated. His email comes after Trump posted on social media messages over the weekend saying he, Trump, expects to be arrested on Tuesday, as in tomorrow. In connection with the investigation, city, state, and federal law enforcement agencies held security preparation meetings while a Trump lawyer predicted, quote-unquote, mayhem if an indictment comes down. Meanwhile, former Vice President Mike Pence described any potential indictment of Trump as politically charged, saying, quote, it's not what the American people want to see, unquote. We're going to delve into this after our news headlines this morning. Donald Trump taking to social media, not just saying he's going to be arrested tomorrow, which there appears to be no solid evidence of that, at least publicly, but then he goes on to do exactly what he did prior to January 6th, to incite a riot, have people get out in the streets. And now on social media, you have the right-wing mega folks trying to make this into there, quote unquote, they are, as in the government, are coming after all of us. Which, of course, is not true. Talk about that in just a couple of minutes. California now. As Californians reel from an onslaught of powerful storms and destructive floods, a 12th atmospheric river, that's right, 12th, will bring another round of heavy snow and rain to the state this week. The latest in a parade of storms lashed California with high winds and dumped more snow and rain over the region yesterday. And a banking turmoil has continued to erupt. Global banks just suffered their worst week since 2008. And rattled customers are wondering what's next after beleaguered mega bank Credit Suisse was taken over by UBS yesterday. Experts say more volatility is in store for the week ahead, and it does not mean a repeat of the global financial crisis from 15 years ago. In an attempt to ward off the crisis, the U.S. Federal Reserve and several other major banks last night announced a coordinated effort to boost the flow of dollars through the global financial system. Back with more after this, including the Trumpster and your calls. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pack Street Boys Reunion or the Todd Allball Show. It's 8:33 on a Monday morning on Civic Media. Mr. Sommer is dialing up some Pack Street Boys. What is that all about this morning?
Oh, it's actually NSYNC, not Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I got my boy bands mixed up. I'm sorry. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah. It's a habit I have.
But if the unsubstantiated claims that Trump is going to be arrested tomorrow are true.
Oh, well, he could be bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye. Well, I want to see him walking out that door. It ain't no lie. Bye-bye-bye.
If it's true, the big word if, it appears all that would really happen is, you know, he may have a perp walk, as they say, where you have to walk through, as the perpetrator, as the alleged perpetrator. He'd have his fingerprints taken, as I understand it, and then be released on his own cognizance. So it would just be the formalities of it all and have to stand up before a judge. There may be a mugshot, though, apparently. So, yes, we'll see. Yeah, I feel badly that I messed up my boy bands, though. That's unfortunate. What's not unfortunate, what we are very fortunate to have, is our meteorologist from Weatherology, the wonderful and talented Kara Foster. And Kara, good morning to you. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Wisconsin Badger women's hockey team took down your Golden Gophers in the semifinals and are the national champions. That is seven times, my friend, beating the Golden Gophers record. Nothing like rubbing salt
in
the
wound, right? We have the axe. We're good.
Whoa! That is fantastic. That's fantastically terrible. But wow, that is just the way to cut right to it. Are you taking lessons from the Flexter up there, the old PJ Flexter? Next thing is going to be, this is Kara Foster rowing the boat.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That was great. God love you. That's well, yeah, you're right. You're right. I can't deny that. It is a sore point amongst many of us here in the great state of Wisconsin, that axe is being prostituted around Minnesota the way that Fleck does.
I know.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But what a great game, though, between Minnesota and Wisconsin in the semifinal, number one. I mean, that was a great game.
As it always is.
As it always is. And then Wisconsin goes on to beat Ohio. They beat the number 3 seed, Colgate. They beat the 2 seed, the Golden Gophers, and then the 1 seed of Ohio State. I mean, what a great, nice. And what I'm just happy for, and I talked about this before, I wish that women's hockey, women's sports in general, but women's sports or women's hockey, it was the national championship, for goodness sake, and it was on ESPNU. I mean, come on now. The national championship.
Like nobody even knows about that.
I know.
That channel. They have like 50 channels, and like that one's probably like U is probably like the whatever 20 something letter in the alphabet. That's probably like the, you know, film after so many.
Yes.
But yeah. That's very, yeah. No, and especially because they're just so dang good. They definitely deserve like a prime time spot.
They are.
For sure. But of course, always a good game. We're always great rivals. I always cheer for, you know, as much as I resent the Badgers when I'm playing them, I will play. I will root for them when we're not playing. They're playing somebody else that we don't like Ohio.
Sure. Right? Exactly. We could be united in our sport hatred,
exactly,
of the Buckeyes. But here's something, exactly, that people will not hate is the forecast for today. I think pretty nice for today. I'm looking ahead. Are we looking at breaking the 50 degree mark at Richland Center tomorrow? Is that
100%. Possibility several times this week, actually. I was happy to see forecast this morning. Our temperatures are going to be super consistent all throughout this week. I mean, we're going to be, you know, teetering around our average. Our average is about 40, maybe mid 40s throughout much of the state. You know, we're going to be kind of just above and just below kind of much of the week. There's going to be several days where we might be right at it or kind of be, you know, like I said, right above or below. But sunny today, I mean, no matter where you are, it's going to be a gorgeous day. We're still a little below average, hitting 35 in Amory. We're at 38 and partly cloudy in Wausau. And then we're reaching 47. So already almost hitting that 50 mark in Richland Center. As we head into tonight, we'll stay cloudy, dip down to 22 in Amory. We might see some flurries in Wausau, but nothing to worry about. We'll dip down to 21 over in Wausau, and then 31, so much warmer throughout Richland Center. But like you said, we do have a chance for hitting 50s tomorrow. As of right now, it says 51 in Richland Center. Rest of the state will still be in the 30s, mid-30s, lower 40s, so nowhere really near that 50 mark quite yet throughout much of the state. But the southern part will definitely be really, really close. Now, there will be a system moving in tomorrow. It's going to be another one of those. It's the same one as last week. It's like almost the exact same. We do have a chance for some rain and snow showers throughout the state. But again, it's that three-tiered cake. I mean, it doesn't change any time you look at it. Central and northern portions of the state are looking at some accumulation this week, but much less compared to what we saw the last 2 weeks. We do have a greater chance for some rain showers throughout the entirety of the state. Southern portion of the state will definitely just see rain. I mean, you know, they might see some flurries throughout the overnights, but really not a huge chance of that even happening. Accumulation-wise, you know, central and northern portions of the state, Tuesday and Wednesday seem to be those 2 days we could see some accumulation, but only like up to four inches is kind of what I'm seeing. And then after that, as we head into Thursday and Friday, temperatures do warm up once again throughout much of the state. We're going to be hitting the upper 40s, upper 30s, and lower 50s once again throughout the southern portions, and we'll have more sunshine basically starting Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is pretty much going to be in the clear for most of the state. Could see some flurries kind of after that, but I mean, really nothing, no accumulation after Wednesday night throughout any portions of the state. So it's going to be more consistent, and thank goodness we just started spring today. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
How about it? So was it 4:24, I think I saw, is the official start of spring this afternoon? So
correct, you got it.
Spring is in the air. How about that?
It really is. I know. I'm hoping it sticks.
All right, Ms. Kara, we still have the Axe Foster. We appreciate you being with us. It's going to be your new title now. Props to you. You were right on it. That's fantastic. Well, wait till the fall. Maybe we'll have to. Because Wisconsin goes to Minnesota this year.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm always so excited for that game day. It's everybody's favorite game day here. I'm very excited
used to be until the Flexster decided to actually start playing in those games. And then maybe we'll have to
He's
do
a
like
a little intimidating.
What? Have you met him?
No, he's just like intimidating
let's not ruin people's morning by talking about PJ Flex. So. I think we should do this fall for the Axe game. Maybe we should do the show on location up there next to this.
That'd
fall.
Be so fun.
Really? Would you come out and do the forecast on location with us?
I mean, I'd be down. I mean, I live super close to campus. I go there.
Do you
all
really?
The time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll have to think of some sort of a bet that I will probably lose.
Okay.
Maybe Wisconsin beer versus Minnesota beer. I don't know. We'll do something.
Right. Yeah, truly. Yeah, something like that.
All right. You're fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for starting off our week on a raunchy note. We appreciate it.
Always.
All right. Have a great day, Kara. Bye-bye.
You too.
Ms. Kara Foster, weatherology. How about that, Aaron? Gives it right back to me like that.
Very spicy, and just like that.
I know. If she's like that with conversation, think how good she is as a forecaster. I mean, absolutely fantastic. All right. Well, maybe we'll do that this fall, a little on location with the Axe game. Wanted to turn to the story here at 8:41 this morning on the Todd Allball Show, and we are going to talk a little bit about the Trumpster. And I don't talk a lot about him because I just don't think he deserves the coverage, and there's no reason to talk about an insurrectionist. But a little news, as they say, over the weekend, which is going to have implications moving forward, and I think we need to talk about it. Donald Trump, this is a headline from the great journalist Paula Reed. She used to be with CBS, now she was with CNN. Also Caitlin Collins and Kristen Holmes. Headline, Trump says he expects to be arrested Tuesday, as in tomorrow, as New York law enforcement prepares for a possible indictment. Former President Donald Trump on Saturday said he expects to be arrested in connection with the investigation by the Manhattan District Attorney this week and called for protests as New York law enforcement prepares for a possible indictment. In a social media post, Trump, referring to himself, said, quote, "The leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest. Take our nation back," he wrote. CNN's John Miller. And here's a guy, if you want to know someone who knows what's up and is a great reporter and insightful, John Miller. Again, used to be with CBS News. He used to be on CBS This Morning all the time. As a former detective with the New York City Police Department, he left CBS and then went back to the NYPD as working directly for the commissioner, and now he is with CNN. So this guy has contacts up the wazoo and knows firsthand what's going on. So CNN's John Miller reported that meetings have been going on throughout the week between city, state, and federal law enforcement agencies in New York City about how to prepare for a possible Trump indictment in connection with a years-long investigation into a hush money scheme involving the film actress Stormy Daniels. So this is the irony to me of the whole thing. Here's a guy, Trump, who, according to the bipartisan January 6th committee, is nearly single-handedly responsible for the insurrection that occurred on January 6th of 2021. He also is alleged to have tried to use his position to change votes, particularly in Georgia, the quote-unquote perfect phone call, where he asked the states or the Secretary of State, Raffensperger, to find me whatever it was, so many thousand votes. The laundry list of what Donald Trump is accused of doing wrong is long and wide. And yet the thing that they seem to be able to get to stick on this guy, pun intended, is Stormy Daniels, a hooker who he had an affair with, or at least a hookup or two with, and then he paid her, allegedly, hush money to keep her quiet. And that's the thing that could, in fact, actually get him indicted and in jail.
It's just like Al Capone, all the big gangster guys who are good at covering up their main rackets, they get caught in the little stuff. And that's, you know, we got to take those.
You got to take the small stuff. And let me make one thing clear here. All right. Unlike a lot of people, yes, I am slightly entertained because Trump as a figure is entertaining. You can take that however you want, but I'm not saying that in a praiseful way. I'm just saying if you look at the life of Donald Trump, the figure, the character, the caricature, he's entertaining. Whether we agree with him or whatever, to a certain degree, he is entertaining. And that's why he did, you know, at least semi-well in entertainment. But also don't mistake my, I guess, entertainment or my interest in the entertainment side of this for jubilation. I don't think this is a time to be celebratory and light off rockets and you know, uncork champagne and cheer this. I'm glad that the guy appears to be on the verge of being brought to justice, but I also think it's an extraordinarily sad time and sad day for our country. Because we've never had a president of the United States or a former president of the United States indicted, arrested, criminally charged. Now you can make the case that that would have happened for Richard Nixon, but yeah. Gerald Ford pardoned him. That's certainly a case to be made. Gerald Ford thought that pardoning Nixon for his alleged activities of Watergate was better for the country, to heal the country, to move forward. And who knows, maybe Gerald Ford was right. But what Richard Nixon was alleged to have done, and what Donald Trump has alleged to have done, not just the Stormy Daniels stuff, but the litany, is much greater than what Richard Nixon was alleged to have done. Richard Nixon would never allege to start a coup.
Yeah, with this, it's not something we can just sweep under the rug and say, you know what, let's just keep going. This is something that there has to be consequences for, with how extreme it is.
Exactly. You're 100% right, Mr. Zalmers. So this article from CNN over the weekend, any indictment of the former president, who's we'll come back, we're going to have to take a break quick, we'll come back on the side, talk a little bit how this affects the politics of it all, what we can expect this week, and how the Republicans are reacting to all this, and your phone calls as well. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Hallball Show. I'm very bad at it. I go through my head a couple of times there. Responsibility. Exactly. Yeah,
that's a long word to be spelling out in a song.
Particularly, I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning. But yes, you're absolutely right.
But for some reason, Dolly Parton has a kid's song about doing the dishes and just being responsible. And I thought a children's song about being responsible was appropriate.
And Dolly Parton, too. I mean, you can't go wrong with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She could sing The Phone Book and it'd sound fantastic. Very good, Mr. Zalmers. Todd Hallball back with you on a Monday morning, the 20th of March, 2023, first day of spring. At least spring comes on to us at 4:23 this afternoon. Finally, spring is here. 8:51 right now, the time, the temperature sign. Looks like a nice day throughout most of Wisconsin today. Richland Center, a high of 47, knocking on the door of 50. Up in Wausau, a high of 38. And Amory, a high of 35, going to see mostly sunny skies across the state and across the region for today. Talking about this story this morning on the Trumpster, Donald Trump over the weekend, former president, he is putting out a statement saying that he believes that he will be arrested as soon as tomorrow on indictment charges, on being indicted over this issue with former porn star Stormy Daniels, who he had an affair with, got caught, and then tried to pay her $130,000 of hush money. And now is being allegedly, apparently, indicted sometime in the near future. The story we're reading out of CNN this morning by Caitlin Collins, Kristen Holmes, and Paula Reed. If you'd like to weigh in on this, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Also, could talk about Trumpster, or you could talk about Mark Johnson, coach of the women's hockey team, a seventh national title, unprecedented, meaning it hasn't happened before. No other team, hockey team, women's team in college in America has won more national titles now than Mark Johnson and Wisconsin. Is there anybody who deserves to have a statue put up at Wisconsin more than Mark Johnson? 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. You can talk about that, or you can talk about this story here in the news this morning of former President Trump. Any indictment of the former president, who is in fact running for re-election, would mark a historic first and quickly changed the political conversation around an already divisive figure. While Trump has extensive civil litigation history both before and after taking office, a criminal charge would represent a dramatic escalation of his legal woes as he works to get back into the White House. Trump did not say why he expects to be arrested. The former president has been agitating for his team to get his base riled up and believes that an indictment would help him politically. Multiple people briefed on the situation confirmed to CNN. So that's the thing. You understand? That's the thing. This is good. This is exactly, in many ways, what Trump wants politically. Because if Trump is, in fact, indicted, and all signs point to the point are pointing that he, in fact, will be, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime in the near future, this will all but solidify his hold on the Republican nomination for 2024. Because he is going to become the Messiah, the persecuted, the picked on, Already you're seeing Republicans this weekend rally around the guy. Even Mike Pence, who's running against him, his former vice president, is saying, well, this is an injustice. This is, you know, mother wouldn't like this. He didn't say that. He said this is an injustice.
At least House Speaker Kevin McCarthy had one good thing to say about it.
I don't think people should protest this, no.
He said he doesn't think people should protest.
Really, he said that?
Yes.
I don't think people should protest this now.
Yeah.
Well, good for McCarthy saying that. You wonder why? It's just speculation on my part. McCarthy is saying that because, you know, he lived it the last time. He was there.
Yep.
He might be saying a lot of stuff on the House floor and at political rallies, but believe you me, he doesn't want people going through the Capitol saying, Kevin, where are you?
And holding a rope.
Right? Because McCarthy knows he's next. Kevin McCarthy isn't powerful. He is only bowing down to Trump and the Trump acolytes like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She has the real power.
Because one person can vote to get him kicked out.
Right, yeah. They can call for an election for speaker at any time. Back to this story. Another witness is expected to testify today before the grand jury investigating the hush money payments, according to a source familiar with the investigation. It is not clear whether this would be the final witness before it votes on a possible indictment. Trump's legal team has been anticipating that an indictment will happen soon and has been preparing behind the scenes for the next steps. A spokesman for Trump on Saturday said that the former president has not received a notification from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office regarding any potential indictment, but was, quote, rightfully highlighting his innocence, unquote, they said in the post. Manhattan District Attorney's Office declined to comment as of Saturday. Now, here's where things get dicey. As Mr. Zomers alluded to, Trump has complained privately that he believes he is only going to be indicted because he thinks Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, quote unquote, hates him, according to a source familiar with what Trump has said. But that's just indicative of this guy, Trump. He takes everything personally. He thinks it's all about him. Complete narcissism. Doesn't want to look at what the law says. He thinks everything is personal because, of course, he makes everything personal. In his world, it's all personal. He doesn't hire attorneys because he looks at their record or because he thinks they came from a good law school. You know why Trump hires attorneys? It's how they look on TV. He only hires people that he thinks comes across well on TV. It's all about personality and how they get along personally. Do you like me? Did you say good things about me? Remember, this is the guy, Trump, who endorsed last fall in the Wisconsin governor's race, endorsed Tim Michaels over Rebecca Clayfish. Why? Because Brian Hagedorn on the Supreme Court, Brian Hagedorn's daughter went out with Rebecca, or her son went out with Rebecca Clayfish's daughter to a dance. And Trump said, and Hagedorn cast a vote to certify the election in Wisconsin. And for that reason, because it was very personal, Trump endorsed Michaels over Clayfish, over their kid's dance partner. Not making this up. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show in hour number two. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.